Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake-Up Call with Dave Crossan. I am Dave Crossan, and I want to put out the triple thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody that's been listening to this podcast and for those people out there that have reached out to me and said, hey, David, how about this topic? Or how about that topic? Or we need a little bit more clarity. I really appreciate it. So for anybody out there that has been listening and you haven't reached out to me, please consider a phone call, an email, whatever way you want to reach out to me, please do so. My phone number, 732-902-7880. So for today's topic, this is a really good topic. I'd like to say all of the topics that we put out there are really good, great topics. But this is important because for a lot of people, when it comes to estate planning, they'll take certain steps. They think they're done. I'm glad I did it. I sat down with an estate planning attorney and I am good to go. Well, not so fast. So for individuals out there that are considering doing a revocable trust, and why would you do a revocable trust? Well, in there you can name a trustee to manage your assets. Maybe you have special instructions in the actual trust itself, especially when it comes to the distributions and how they're to be handled. Maybe it's a lump sum. Maybe it's something where it's gradual payments. You can really set it up in a way to exactly the way you want things to be done, handled while you're alive and then when you're passing away. And the big item for a lot of individuals is the ability to avoid the probate process when they pass away. So in other words, the assets, the holdings that are in the trust will go directly to the beneficiaries. Again, it could be a lump sum, could be payments, however they want it to be set up. Now, I will have to say in New Jersey, the probate process is not a difficult process. In other words, if there's assets that are, say, just in your name and you pass away, well, in the will that the individual has, it would clearly identify, well, who gets what. If we don't know, let's say there's an account just in my name. Well, if I passed away, where do these assets go? Where does my car go, my home, my different items that I have? So what would happen is the executor, the person I name in the will to handle my estate, to make the appropriate distributions, the tax filings, all that fun stuff, they would go to the probate court. They would go ahead and be named. Again, if the will clearly says that this person is the executor of the will, they would then get a surrogate document that clearly identifies them as the executor. Then they could go to the different financial institutions, set up the appropriate estate account, and start putting the assets in these estate accounts to then make the distributions based on what the will says. And that's why there is the need for a will, because if there are holdings that we don't know where they should go, who gets them, the will would clearly identify that. Now, for people that establish, say, a revocable trust, that language would be in there. So it would avoid having to go through probate. Again, if I know about a particular asset, say it's titled in a revocable trust, and it clearly identifies a beneficiary or a group of beneficiaries and where these assets are needing to go, like a beneficiary designation, well, I don't need that asset to go through probate. That would go directly to that individual or group of individuals. Again, it's still all part of my estate when it comes to a revocable trust, but the revocable trust would identify where the assets go, how they're to be handled, and it would avoid having to go through that process. So this was the question I got, and I figured, you know what, this is a good opportunity to have this conversation from somebody who listens to this podcast. And they said, well, David, when would there be a time when you would have to probate even if you had a revocable trust? Great, great question. So for a lot of attorneys, what they look to do is when you set up a revocable trust and you're looking to put your assets in there, they also have a will for, again, assets that weren't titled in the trust or changed that titling. So let's say you have everything moved into a revocable trust. It clearly identifies when you pass away where these assets go, but you forget to put something or change the titling and it's just in your name. Well, you're going to need that will to identify where that asset goes. So Number one, why would there be a situation when you have a revocable trust that it would have to go through probate, or items would have to go through probate? And I basically just said it, the empty trust bucket. I'm just putting that out there as kind of a name for it. Meaning, let's say I went to the attorney, I got my revocable trust all set up, and I went ahead and started retitling. Again, the key thing is if there's assets in my name to be able to have the advantages of the trust, I would have to retitle the ownership to the trust, whatever that trust is, that revocable trust. So again, it would then take on whatever the trust says, the avoidance of probate to the beneficiaries, and how it'd be handled and managed going forward. But let's say I don't take that step. I leave the attorney's office. I'm so excited. Here I go. I set up my revocable trust. No probate for my family. Well, not so fast. If there are holdings, accounts that you neglected to retitle in the trust and there isn't a beneficiary designation for that asset, well, guess what? That account, that asset would have to be probated. And in that situation, because it wasn't retitled into the name of the trust, it would have to go through probate. And then what the will says, the language in the will would then say, okay, this account goes to this person or people, whatever the situation is. And that's what the executor would do. So number one, a reason why somebody who has a trust, they have it set up, they just didn't for whatever reason retitle an account, an asset, whatever it is in the name of the trust. And if there isn't a beneficiary designation, well, that's an asset that would have to be probated. One item I find with a lot of clients that are in retirement, they may have individual stocks, stock certificates, or stocks held at a transfer agent that are just in their name. And for whatever reason, they didn't retitle it. They didn't put it in a brokerage account, and let's say retitle the asset or the holdings in the brokerage account to the revocable trust, or if they're at a transfer agent, they didn't do that retitling. Well, guess what? Upon the passing of that person, if that stock certificate is still in the name of that individual and was never retitled into the name of the trust, well, that's another account or an asset that would have to be put through the probate process. And again, then the will would clearly identify where that goes. And again, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, New Jersey isn't a difficult process through probate. I just want to put that out there. It's not overly expensive. It's not overly time consuming to get it done, to get your surrogate document, to be able to establish the estate accounts, to start that process. Now, I will say there are other states like Florida, like California, where it can be very expensive, where it can take a good amount of time to probate an account or different assets. So for a lot of individuals that may have a home in New Jersey and they may have a home in Florida, again, I'm not an attorney, but that would be a good conversation to have with somebody if you have property in, say, Florida or California or other states that are challenging with the probate process or expensive or time-consuming, that you may want to consider a trust, a revocable trust in this, for this conversation to be titled in that manner. And you know what we're going to do for a future podcast? I'm going to get in the difference between a revocable and an irrevocable trust. So that's a different podcast. I'm excited to do it. But for today's podcast, we'll just focus on it being a revocable trust, a trust you can change. And in this case, we'd be using it to avoid the probate process for assets that are titled in that manner. Now, here is another one. So we talked about different assets that we just didn't, for whatever reason, retitle in the name of the trust. The other items, too, is let's say in the trust, we needed to update some information. For example, let's say it clearly says that upon my passing, a certain account, a certain percentage goes to an individual. Okay, great. But let's say that individual has passed away, and in the trust, I've clearly not identified a second party, a contingent beneficiary, a backup, whatever the situation is. So that could be a situation where it would then have to go to that person's estate. Again, that could be a situation where you intended it to go to in one direction, and there you go, fair enough. But that person passed away, or maybe you wanted to change it to another person, whatever the situation is, that could create a situation that for that estate, it would have to be probated. So what I always like to say to people is when you create any document, let's say, even if it's a beneficiary designation, that also avoids the probate process because it would go directly to that party or those group of people, whatever the situation is, have a backup plan, meaning a contingent beneficiary. So let's say this person passes away. You may have language in there that it goes to another person or maybe to their family or to be redistributed to the rest of the beneficiaries. And you'd want similar language in a trust. So it clearly identifies if this person has passed or whatever the situation is that you don't want it going that direction, that there's a backup plan. It's clearly identified in there, especially with somebody passing, that it's covered. And again, that's another reason for doing a trust is you want clear language and you want the what if scenarios covered. You don't want to have to go back to the attorney, rewrite up the trust or whatever the situation is that you're putting together for changes. Again, the same thing in a will. You want to make sure that if somebody passes away, that it's clear where those assets are to go. But in a situation like I'm talking about, if it doesn't have that this person passes, it's to go to this person or this direction, that could create a situation where probate's going to be needed because it would distribute to that person. And then if that person's passed away, it would go to their estate and that would create a situation where probate would be needed. And the final item I wanted to bring up, and a lot of people do this and it's understandable, getting your legal work in order, setting up your estate plan. It's not like you wake up one day, you jump out of bed, you're so excited. Oh, I'm going to the attorney today. Yay, I can't wait to do this. And here you go to get it done. No, this is something where a lot of people put it off. They don't want to do it. They're going to get to it. They're going to take the time. They haven't put all of their assets down in a booklet so it's organized. I'll go see the attorney once that's done. Well, let me tell you something. There's never the perfect time other than the fact that you've got to do something. Ideally, for any accounts that you have, you should have a booklet that clearly identifies where things go, as well as the titling, any beneficiary designations. So it's clear for your family that upon your passing, they know what's going on. And I'm happy for anybody listening, reach out to me at shorelinewealth.com or go to my website, davidcrossnet@shorelinewealth.com, and email me directly, I should say. Of course, our website would be shorelinewealth.com. I keep repeating myself, but it's so important. Reach out to me. Anyway, where am I going with this? We have booklets that you can itemize your different holdings and different things that you have so that upon your passing, your family knows, okay, there's a bank account and I need to get that settled up. For a lot of people that, let's say they're not getting paper statements, I see this too many times where they're getting everything online. And unless you see that statement or you have access to the email or to the online sites, you may not know that there is something out there to settle up. So again, that's a good exercise and I'm happy to provide that information, that booklet and a way to organize it. And the last item I wanted to bring up as I'm talking about, just get it done, go to the attorney and have the conversation, is people who wait too long and then they quickly try and say, okay, oh, I got to take care of this and let me get that trust organized and let's get everything going. They wait too long and then unfortunately pass away before they get the opportunity to retitle the assets. So what I tell people is this is something, do it ahead of time, get organized. Be prepared. If you have a brokerage account, you need to retitle that brokerage account to the revocable trust that we're talking about. Make that appointment. Bring in that copy of a trust so they can set it up. The trustees can sign. You make sure everything's in good order. Don't do it where somebody is not well. It's at the last minute, and it could lead to you not completing the task, getting everything done. And then what ends up happening is there's different assets, different items out there that are named in the individual. And we didn't have that opportunity to get it retitled in the name of the trust. And then yes, it'd have to be probated. Again, I just want to make it clear for people listening that are in New Jersey, it's not a challenging process, but look out for different states like Florida, like California, that are more challenging. They're expensive to probate items as well as the time that it takes. So what I would suggest for people listening, take a good look at what is the process for probating any items and make the determination if you need the trust and if it makes sense. And especially for people that have special instructions, that's the nice thing about a trust is in that trust, you can clearly identify how you want things to be handled, how you want distributions to be done to the beneficiaries. Maybe it's for minors. You're clearly identifying, hey, I want to make sure that this distribution isn't at age 21. Let's wait till they're 25 and name a trustee to handle that. So you can put all sorts of language, or let's say there's an individual in your family that's just not good with money and you don't want to hand them a lump sum. Let's do payments over time. There's so much you can do, and that's the nice thing about a trust. And I always tell this to people, if you have a plan and exactly how you want things to unfold, write it down. Then go see the attorney, and whatever the situation is, an attorney, an estate planning attorney, will have a method or a strategy or plan to accommodate what you're looking to do. And that's where a trust comes in handy. So it may be a unique situation. Speak to the attorney and tell them what you need done, and they will help you do it. And with all of that, I am finishing up this podcast, and I really appreciate everybody listening in each week. And please, 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 one more please, please, if you have any ideas, any thoughts about a future podcast or this one or just different ideas, please reach out to me. Let me give you an office number. That is 732-902-7880. Of course, you can visit us at shorelinewealth.com. Have an amazing day, and I look forward to speaking to everybody next time. Take care.